This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Picture this. You wake up in the hospital. It's 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon. You don't know what's going on. What am I? Your mom's there and she says, "Honey, you're okay. Last Tuesday, your appendix burst and they had to perform an emergency surgery. They put you under and you just woke up, but everything's fine. You're okay." And your mind starts racing like, "Oh my God, I've been unconscious for the past week. What did I miss? I had that huge presentation at work. Do you know anything about it? Mom, did the big presentation at work go okay?" And she's like, I don't really know what goes on at your work, but I heard, no, it didn't go well. And you've been let go. I'm sorry. This is a rude awakening."
And you think, "Oh, what about Katie's birthday? Little Katie, sweet Katie's 12th birthday party."
Your niece?
Yeah, my niece Katie.
You missed it.
Oh, no. But they still did it, though, even though I was here.
They still did it. We held it down the hall, but she was incredibly disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're going to, don't take a half measure either. Have the party at Dave & Buster's like you planned, or don't have it at all. Don't
we make wanted her to be close-ish. We wanted to be close-ish to you.
Vending machine room.
We had it in the vending machine room in the hospital to be as close as possible to you without being in the actual room. And then you're like, "Mom, give me some good news, babe. What about, man, I missed first weekend of football. At least tell me, I know football went well. My fantasy team had to have crushed it. I mean, I'm starting Aaron Rodgers, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews. I put in a cheat code on Yahoo so I could start three tight ends, Dallas Goedert. I started Kajana Carter.
What about my wideout duo, Mom? What about T. Higgins and Drake London?"
Your mom just looks at you and a single tear rolls down her cheek. "They all sucked, babe. You got 0 points.
They out from the room next door are like, "What's up? Someone say my name? Someone say..."
"I'm trying to meditate in here."
Who's that in the next room?
"Oh my God, is that Shailene Woodley?"
"From The Descendants?"
"From The Descendants, Shailene Woodley? Oh my God, there must be a celebrity next door."
But mom, all right, which one of them got 0 points? You said 0 points. Which one of those studs got only 0 points?
"All of them. All of them. You got cocky and you started Kajana Carter, who..."
"Yeah.
Had like 15 career carries."
"Yeah, I'll admit there was one outlier in my lineup. There was one that was a bit of a reach.
Yeah.
Kind of a joke play, but I thought the rest of the team was so stacked."
"Well, you lost. You lost to your anesthesiologist."
"What?
Yeah.
Who had like fucking Kendrick Bourne."
"Yeah, Kendrick Bourne.
And fucking Tyler Allgeier.
Calvin Ridley and Tyler Allgeier.
And that backup running back from the Rams. Kyron Williams.
Yeah. He had all of them, and he made a bet with you just as you were going under.
When I reached my hand up in a desperate plea for help, he shook it on a bet.
He shook it. He said, "I bet
you. That's fucked up.
I bet you your girlfriend's hand in marriage."
"Oh.
Now you lost."
"She's not going to honor that, is she?"
She was pretty wooed.
Shit.
By the whole thing.
That was why she fell for me, because of my fantasy team.
"Mom, this is one rude awakening. But hey, at least Hayes Davenport and Mike Mitchell are going to be on foosballs."
"Yes.
I love listening to those guys riff with Carl Tart.
Oh, honey. Honey, I've got even more bad news.
What?
Carl's not in this episode. It's a rude awakening day here at Foosballs. No Carl Tart joining us today, but we do have our first ever guests in the history of the pod. Although I think by the rules we set up, they're technically co-hosts.
Yeah, that's right.
And compensated accordingly.
Yes. Hayes Davenport and Mike Mitchell.
Did this character always call his mom babe, or is that a, yeah. is that an effect of the anesthetic?
It's the anesthetic.
I relate to that part of the story. Yes.
Yeah. I saw Mike perk up a little bit over there.
Yeah, just like me.
This week was awesome. It was so fucked up.
It's a chaotic week. One is so chaotic.
Yes.
Yeah. By week one standards, this was real sloppy.
Yeah.
It was a really, really sloppy week one. All the quarterbacks were bad and or had their Achilles blow up.
Yeah.
And then just, a lot of wild, wild stuff happened.
Yeah.
Not a great week for the NFL, I feel like, but you know, whatever.
The first
it
happens.
Thing I wanted to talk about was so many teams and players shit the bed so hard. I'm a Steelers fan. We got to be up there in these nominations. But
I think you guys are Patriots fans.
Yeah.
Which honestly, though, but walking away from this weekend, kind of happy.
That's a loss, but that's not shitting the bed.
I do like how everyone is talking about like, oh, Jordan Love like performed well, and people are looking at like these sleepers for the rest of the season. And Mac Jones was the second best quarterback in football from a fantasy perspective.
Really?
Nobody. Nobody.
He's gonna have to really
cares.
Earn it.
Yeah. No one's putting him on like your the waiver wire or whatever. Just don't even bother.
The moment you go from Bama to the Patriots is like signing a contract to be like, I'm gonna be very successful and hate it.
Yeah, you have to be. Yeah, you better be some real charming guy if we're ever gonna like you.
But I was trying to think like which. Like the Bengals shit the bed, the Bears shit the bed.
Oh, the Giants.
The Giants, I think, is the worst for me.
Yes.
The first drive, Sunday Night Football, Daniel Jones has a couple of nice runs. They're getting the ball to Barkley. And I'm sitting there going,
Greg texts me and he's like, man, the Giants are just slicing and dicing right now.
They were. Even though they couldn't block anyone, they were still. And I was like, I had a moment of like in the leagues where not, in our league I have Jalen Hurts, but in the other leagues I was very quarterback late, and I was just like, should I have just fucking taken Daniel Jones? Yeah. Like that's how it looked in that first drive, and then there's like, they don't get it. There's a holding penalty. They back up, and then the kick gets blocked and returned for a touchdown, and it was the biggest momentum swing I think I saw.
What was that board Jones game from the 90s that had like? And maybe I'm making this up, but there's like a thin sheet of paper, and you put the marbles.
It was like a don't break the ice sort of game. Yes. I don't know if that was it exactly, but
yeah,
that's right.
And then that's what watching that game was. It's just all of a sudden it just burst and just it just went to complete.
That's
shit.
Very funny to just think about. It was like a wet piece of paper and marbles.
The Giants' whole entire last season of not turning the ball over and somehow making the playoffs, winning a playoff game, was the wet paper towel. And Micah Parsons was just sitting there with marbles dropping them.
I do hate the Giants, so I'm always happy to. It was hard for me to draft Jones in my Quincy fantasy league, but I love to see them lose always. It makes me happy. Opposite, I actually feel bad for the Jets. I like kind of feel bad for
sure.
Them.
That is about as cruel a fate a fan base has ever been dealt.
Yes.
And they've receded so far from like the Patriots' like main rival. I remember when I was like in high school when it was like Bart Scott, whatever, you know. You know, that era. Yeah, Rex Ryan. Like, now, like I'm ready for them to succeed.
It'll be fun.
That's how I feel about the Browns. Honestly, is it's been so long that it's like I can't want to kick them anymore. I mean, it does feel like with the Rodgers injury and then them still winning the game and their defense looking so good, it reminds me so much of like the late aughts Jets of like. if they had fucking anyone but Mark Sanchez. Because those like late odds Jets teams, their line, they had like DeBrickashaw Ferguson and Alan Faneca and like the stacked line, their stacked defense. They were like loaded.
Lavernius Coles.
I know, they honestly did. Like when Thomas Jones was a stud running, I mean, because he just was behind that line.
Yeah.
And it was just like if they had anyone but Mark Sanchez.
Has there ever been a best and worst week one for a Hard Knocks people than, I mean, obviously Aaron Rodgers and then the kid who
Gibson,
like, Gibson who ran the punt return back for a touchdown. It's like he was like a featured player in Hard Knocks. It's great.
One of the here's my line. Guys. Here's my Schreiber line, because they always have to on Hard Knocks remind you of who the guy is by like what fun scene they were in before. Okay. Xavier Gibson may have a devastating ping pong serve, but he has an even better return.
That's
what they would do. Just so you're like, oh, right.
It's the they're the guys playing the ping pong.
Here's the fourth reference to how this guy did the Eminem rap.
I wish they did that for the stars, too. Like, Aaron Rodgers now retreats to the darkness of the medical tent.
The guy who sang 8 Mile felt like that was going to be a last episode, and that he didn't even stick around for the last episode.
No.
Didn't feel like he was.
Oh yeah.
When we did our cut day episode, it was like the headline was like on ESPN was like guy who rapped 8 Mile cut. That's going to be his thing forever.
Yeah, Hard Knocks. They weren't showing the cuts anymore in the room. Yeah, no, give me
the cuts.
Give me the cuts, baby.
That's what it's about, kind of. You know,
it's endearing. And I thought, and so they stopped featuring bottom of the roster bubble guys.
Yeah,
And if I were those guys, I'd be like, hey man, I would love to get some cameo dollars.
100%.
I'm not sure. That I'm not going to be getting now. That would be pretty cool.
I wonder why they. I mean, obviously it's a hard thing to go through, but I don't know. It's what makes the show kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think they got Robert Sala and Practical Jokers.
Who I think is from watching that show. I like more than anything thought he was kind of dumb. Am I wrong to think
it's
that?
Almost
the eagle crow
analogy
was a tough one. I don't know if that's real. There's also two other teams in the league that are one's the Eagles and one's basically the Crows.
There are four. What's basically Ravens. There are for a second I thought you were talking about Falcons, but I was like,
no, I mean like Crows or Ravens are the same thing. At least you're not calling them the Ravens, but that's what they are. It's just weird, you know, when you're a third team to be using those two things as your big analogy.
Yeah.
Coaches never come off well in those docs, I feel like.
No, but I think he does actually better than most. It seems like the players like him in general.
That's the Dan Campbell thing from last year.
And Dan Campbell was the star.
A relatively nice personality. You feel like he'd be a nice hang, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
That's
true.
The worst, Mike McCarthy was... It was real rough a few years ago.
And that Arizona guy, I mean, there was just that one little clip of him going around, not on Hard Knocks, but this season, the new Arizona head coach.
It just
has an amazing demotivating.
Gannon. What's his name? Gannon?
Something. I don't even know.
Yeah, Jonathan Gannon.
Arizona is a sad.
What was the spiel? It was just... You could just see like the life leaving the eyes of every single player in the room. It was
it was awful to watch. You're just like, this guy's a nerd.
And yet there was a point in the middle of the morning games when like Arizona was winning.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts had come back against the Jags, the Panthers. It was like all the teams that I thought for sure would be bottom of the barrel were in it. And then they wound up all losing except for Tampa, who did pull off the win over Minnesota, but
you like, kind of are left with this feeling of like at moments like every team is bad. Felt like that way at the beginning of last
almost,
season.
Just
the product was bad. But what I think that really is like there are just some defenses that are Like the defenses are better than the offenses.
Ryan like whip pans to me as a Steelers fan. Like, yeah, there are some defenses that are better than fucking
offense. Honestly, I was burping, but yeah.
But just like the fucking Jets defense and like they look,
the Cowboys
they look so good. The Cowboys are crazy. But like the Cowboys, you know, I have Dak in one of my leagues and he had fucking 6 points. And
even
put up 44.
Even Tony Pollard, his 2 touchdowns, like he didn't really do much to have a 2 touchdown game.
No.
Like the Cowboys offense didn't look good.
No.
Particularly.
Yeah.
And they have, I think, the Jets this weekend.
Yeah.
Cowboys Jets?
Right. Yeah.
Oh boy, poor Zach Wilson.
They got or are there Dak are Prescott. They gonna do something? I know he said that Wilson's gonna be the starter for the rest of the season, but like I know, and I know the Cowboys aren't going to give up Trey Lance before they play this team.
Yeah.
But
they have to sign a backup at least.
Yeah, you got to.
Flacco or someone.
Oh, man. I was thinking, like, do they trade for a Jacoby Brissett? Or they, I mean, I guess you sign Carson Wentz. It's probably the best move. But, man, like.
Man.
For what? What's the goal here?
Yeah.
to lose, maybe get the 7th seed and just get annihilated by the Chiefs or Bills or Bengals. It's
rough. My college roommate Matt Grana, great guy, Jets fan, and I do feel bad for him. I mean, it's also that funny thing of like, who could have predicted this? And I was like, I almost could, but I like, yeah, is like the most, it felt like that could happen.
It's very Jets.
It's a very Jets thing to happen. And Vinny Testaverde was at the game watching.
Chad Pennington too, right? Like,
yeah,
they have this history of week one quarterback things, right?
And it's like ESPN is like, oh my God, the unthinkable. I was like, no, it feels 100% what, like everyone thought that he could get hurt this year, right? Like that wasn't.
He's 39. He was hurt last year.
Yeah.
I'm 35 and I feel like I'm walking around just a rickety shamble of bones.
But just him standing there knowing that his ACL has been severed.
Yeah.
And then just like
that,
sitting there.
That sad sit down.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He just knew exactly what had happened.
After his comeback in Hard Knocks, people liked him again. I feel like people liked Aaron Rodgers.
He worked the charm in Hard Knocks and won me back over. I was very anti Aaron, but yes. I came back around.
And then everyone just lining up to paddle his ass.
Yeah. Oh, man. Twitter was pretty. Yes. Twitter went hard at it.
Scott Van Pelt did that thing where he was like, there's lots of rumors going around, but obviously you can't trust medical advice that you get on the internet.
Oh, a lot of that. A lot of do your own research jokes, a lot of ivermectin jokes.
I was thinking this last night too. My buddy Dano said, he was like, it is strange to see Aaron Rodgers be like the guy who runs out with a flag for the 9/11 game when it's like, that's the guy who most likely believe something weird.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It felt a little icky.
That's not even most likely. Wasn't that literally a story where some wideout said that, like,
in
on
their
his first day
meeting
of camp, one of the first things Aaron Rodgers said to him was like, you should watch Loose Change.
Yeah. No,
like, literally.
His concession is like, he believes that 9/11 did happen. Like, he like, obviously, yes, it
two
happened.
Planes did hit towers that day. But I'll stop right there. Yeah. I'll stop at that.
I used to do a bit where instead of being a truther, I was like a 9/11 coincidence conspiracy. like planes crash.
Yeah.
It's monkeys with a typewriter, guy. In enough time, eventually two of them are going to crash at the same place on the same. That's Aaron Rodgers.
I feel bad for Wilson. I feel very bad for Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook, who are both like sort of brittle, and you could just see Saleh just like fucking running them.
Oh,
like, into
well, what
the
was
dirt.
The what was the carry split on those two guys though? Because also Breece Hall looks so much better.
He does look a lot better.
But you can't run him into the ground because he's just coming back from this. But
his
first two carries went for like 110 yards.
Yeah. No, I think both of them got like 20 plus carries, right?
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, they barely got to possess the ball.
I feel bad for Cobb or is it funny? I can't tell what
it's funny for him.
It's
funny. He's done. He's gonna get his little league minimum paycheck. But can we talk about the Garrett Wilson catch?
Oh, yeah.
Catch of the year so far, easily, right?
Yes.
Of the week one.
Of the week one. Yes.
I mean, I feel like last year, the top.
Last year, George Pickens had that catch week one that wound up being one of the catches of the year.
Yeah.
It was great. And it did make you be like, well,
Maybe.
I'm under a full
just put it up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
As another win and loss moment for people who drafted, I was in a league where someone reached and took Garrett Wilson fifth overall. And it's so brutal because you see his talent. And you see, like, who knows, if Rodgers had been something, Wilson could have been like a top three wideout. But now it's just like, I mean, the numbers last year when he played with Flacco were pretty good. But when he played with Wilson, they were abysmal.
They were so bad. Okay.
If you took him, does any of you guys have him in our
league? Another league. But I was willing to, like, be optimistic that, like, I thought Rodgers might spread it around a little more. It seemed like, you know, Lazard would, like, peel off some shit, and that Wilson would just send it to Wilson over and over again. But
maybe. Well, you know, he's Wilson. We still don't really know what Wilson is.
I mean, thought about that. Like, as soon as it happened, I wonder. At first, I was like, oh, what if this is Zach Wilson's fairy tale thing where he's the
Tom Brady.
The afterthought, and he comes back, and then him on the sidelines after their first possession, he's not rallying the troops at all. No. Not trying to get, he's just kind of sitting there, just a scared deer in headlights. Nah, I don't think that's going to happen.
He has big, like, Joffrey Baratheon energy. He has, like, a baby face, but there's something. He seems like a haunted doll.
You
feel like he's never shaved.
Also, not super, kind of annoying in my Hard Knocks viewing. He's kind of like an annoying guy.
Yeah, a little shit. Yeah.
Kind of like a little shit. He is.
Yeah.
Kind of
just always like smiling and kind of razzing people or whatever, but like everyone else is talking about just like keeping him together.
Yeah.
Like,
it is very Game of Thrones for him to like sleep with everyone's mom.
Yeah.
I feel like the Dolphins to me are now the scariest team in our division.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Josh Allen was just dog shit. Yeah. I know the Jets defense is good, but the turnover, like the carelessness. I know one of the interceptions was basically like a really effective punt.
Yes.
Did you see where that guy, Whitehead, what's his name?
Yeah.
The three picks? Mm-hmm. Had an incentive in his contract for three picks on the year.
What?
So it's like, how many times have you ever seen a guy hit their contract incentive in week one?
That's awesome.
God, so he, so I mean, it wasn't crazy. I mean, it was crazy by my standard. It was like $250,000 or something. So not like a $1 million incentive, but still like week one, you could just relax.
That's incredible. Cool. Yeah, you can just relax.
But also, it's also big because the amount of time that Aaron Rodgers played affects what draft pick the Packers get, right?
Yeah.
So they needed him to play like 70% of the games in order to get a first rounder. So the Jets are keep their first rounder now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bills, I mean, their running back situation has always been kind of busted. It didn't, I mean, James Cook looks okay. Yeah. They were leaning on that guy Hardy so much who like came over from the Saints, and it just like felt like the offense just looked rough.
I think we saw it at the tail end of last season, and then in that last playoff game against the Bengals, just the window just slowly coming completely shut, that the opportunity is passed. And now we all know just one of these days, Stephon Diggs is really going to flip out and he's going to demand to be a trade. And
I think it was like Mita Kimes tweeted, now a weary nation turns its eyes to Stephon Diggs' Twitter likes. Sit on our laps so hard. Yeah, he's going to be
out. It's coming.
But the Dolphins, too, like, they almost lost that game.
Yeah, true.
That was probably the only shootout, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Their defense looks like shit.
The Patriots should have won. We could, so easily.
Absolutely.
Patriots defense is filthy.
Yeah, yes. I was impressed with the Patriots.
And also, can I just point out the first keeper of the light, Tom Brady? He was the keeper. He was the first keeper of the light.
What does that mean?
They're doing that.
It's the keeper of the light. You don't know?
Wait, is this like the Sacramento Kings trying to light the beam?
You could also call it a lighthouse keeper, but they call it the keeper of the light. There's this lighthouse at Gillette Stadium, and I guess now they're just appointing a keeper every game or every year.
I can't wait to see what happens with the keeper of the light or whenever they play at home.
They don't want to call it the lighthouse keeper. They want to call it the keeper because they want to evoke the documentary The Keepers about sexual abuse in the Catholic Church, a thing that Boston famously wants to associate itself with.
He rang the bell three times. It meant something. It was good.
What if he goes to the Jets?
be awesome.
There's no way.
There's just no way he'd do
not
it,
after
I think.
This. Not after the past weekend. He can't.
He's in that commercial.
He is also insane though. So I'm like, maybe he could do it.
That Hertz commercial.
Well, there's a commercial where like Jerry Rice and Randy Moss are all unretiring, and the last part is him reading it, going, "Who would come out of retirement?"
That Hertz commercial he's in. For years, I would see how like rich Brady was, but I knew he wasn't taking these like crazy contracts, and so I was like, "Oh, he must be only advertising for like Rolls Royce and Rolex and doing ads in Rob Report and getting like an insane amount of money." And he's only doing like the most like dignified stuff possible. And now he's in this weird Hertz commercial where it's like, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Oh yeah, with Alyssa LeParis in it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there was the T-Mobile commercials or whatever with Gronk.
Which ones? Yeah, I've seen.
Where he came out of retirement because of the bad service that he had with.
with
Gronk.
Gronk was like, "It's nice or being retired." Right? It was like that sort of. Yeah. Thing. It was breaking up, and then it was like, "We're going back."
Yes. Yeah.
It does feel like his last couple of years in the league. It feels like somewhere around there, Tom Brady hired like a 25-year-old PR person to like help him with social media and like make cheeky little jokes about stuff. It was like, you can't make any more jokes about eating your wife's ass. Like the fucking
You're still working on not kissing everyone on the lips.
Yeah.
Because it's
was okay with that. that I was okay
with. It seemed like it was about to happen like 15 different times during all the Patriots ceremony.
When it seemed like, well, and I also, if I was his kid, I'd just be afraid of my dad's like waxy face. He's gotten too much. He's gotten like one step over the plastic surgery limit to me, where it's he looks rubber. He looks kind of like rubber facey. It looks like he's wearing prosthetics or something.
Every night it is just kind of a organic, like Mission Impossible peel. This outer layer just comes off.
But it also, Hayes makes a good point of if a messed up cell phone reception can get him back playing again, it seems like maybe he'll play for the Jets.
The only thing would be watching that game. The line is just not one that you would want to be standing behind, I think, for a whole season.
It was crazy.
45 years old.
It was crazy how they were just blowing everyone off the line in the running game and then could not just stop a cold. Was that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, catch a cold. That's the expression.
These linemen couldn't block a cold.
I wouldn't expect them to.
Also, Brady is probably busy with Keeper of the Light duties. I'm not sure what it entails.
Yeah. But it is a sacred vow. It does seem like something where like his skin was carved into.
He's got to sleep there.
Speaking of weird blocking, so Ryan, I don't know if you guys know, is a big Chiefs fan. Ryan, you went, the pod flew you out. HeadGum flew you out to Kansas City for the game.
Uh-oh. Expect HeadGum to shutter now.
Put me up in the Ritz-Carlton in St. Louis and then flew me private to the game.
They got they had you in the suite with Travis Kelce's new girlfriend, Taylor Swift.
Is that true?
That was the story this morning, that they're casually hanging out or something.
So that's interesting.
Yeah. I'm so proud.
They're the same age, which blows my mind, because I think Taylor Swift will forever seem like a 22-year-old to me.
Yeah, she seems like a decade younger than him at least.
Yeah. She has a song where doesn't she say that she's 22?
Probably.
Yeah, might be what you're responding to. So you did go.
Yeah, I was at the game.
It was a tough one, the receiver we could talk about. But have you seen all the coverage of the right tackle,
Jawan Taylor,
who was matched up on Aiden Hutchinson, how far back he was standing and how early he was jumping.
Yeah.
And that then, after a while of them pointing that out during the game, they were like, oh, you can tell what the Chiefs are doing every play. Because if it's a pass, he's standing back and jumping early. Yeah. And if it's a run, he's just acting normal. And like, how much do you think that actually became a tip for the Lions?
No. I've heard the same thing about Trent Williams with the 49ers, that he's got a real obvious tell when they're going to run or pass, and it's super obvious.
So if they were just blowing up the line every time, like without like without any extra knowledge, like it was no, just, I think they were
just kicking our ass. Just,
no, okay. If Trent Williams
cleanly beating the shit out of us,
and if Trent Williams didn't have a tell, the Steelers would have lost 100. Like the tell was what had us keep them at 30.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not nervous. It feels nah. A Chiefs fan is like you're where I would feel in the like whenever in yeah. the last decade. It's sad to think of that. Of that's what we had.
Yeah.
But you're not nervous at all, right? Like,
no, not really. I thought the yeah. defense looked really well. I can't imagine. I think Tony will bounce back. I'm more worried about Sky Moore. I think.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
he's just not good.
One of the fans of the show that I matched up with in the Foosballs Fantasy League this week started Sky Moore, as did a lot of people. I think they went, oh, Kelsey's mm-hmm. out.
Sure.
This is my week to start Sky
Moore.
That
was the guidance yeah. in a lot of expert Ooh. Corners.
Yeah. And I think my biggest worry is just Kelsey's health, because clearly the offense goes through him
mm-hmm.
and everyone just sort of seemed completely lost without him. But then it happened 2 days before the game, so...
Yeah,
they probably had to scrap the entire game plan, and I think everyone was just.
And what's the word now? Is he like bad? Is he all good for week two?
The last I heard was they drained apparently a ton of fluid from his knee last week.
Yeah,
and somebody said, and they gave the exact number.
No, go ahead.
Just making me thirsty.
It was Cherry Coke. And somebody said, oh, based on the amount of fluid that they drained, they're like, yeah, he can't play for another couple of weeks probably.
Yeah, he's dehydrated.
But,
he's parched.
Yeah, he's so dehydrated, so parched, he can't play. But I got a feeling he'll be there.
Yeah.
From a fantasy point of view, even if you took him before his injury and you took him like fourth overall, I think you still feel good. It sucks that you didn't have him for week one, but
he's better than like Cooper Kupp or somebody. But
like Travis, even if Travis Kelce missed one more game, he comes back. He's like two big Travis Kelce plays away from being tight end one on the season. Who has the most points for it? No tight end did well week one. Hayden Hurst and Hunter Henry are the only two in double digits.
Which double
is
H's.
Like, I don't even know if I can tell you what teams those guys are on. One of them's
one's
a Patriot.
Definitely on the
but
Patriots.
I don't know which is which.
But which one?
Yeah.
That's a legitimate question.
Hudson Hawk and Howard Hughes are on the Patriots right now.
I've come around on Kelce because I didn't it's the Gronk thing, I think, which sure. I always liked Gronk when he's on the
yeah.
I like
he's a cool guy.
I've come around on I like him now.
Yeah. I haven't told my Travis Kelce story on the pod yet, but my best buddy was a friend of mine from college who's now out here in L.A., and we lived together for a while, went to, like, middle school or elementary school with Travis in Cleveland and was, like, still in touch with him. And so when Travis got in the league, it was a couple years before he broke out, right?
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I knew through Sam, so, like, his breakout year, I had taken Kelce in, like, the last round of my draft was great. But they were playing the Chargers when the Chargers were still in San Diego, and he's like, I think Travis can get us tickets.
Wow.
And this is before he was like a big star. And we went down there. We drove down to San Diego with another guy who was like one of Sam's film professors, who's from Kansas City, lifelong Chiefs fan. And we all drove down to San Diego not knowing if we had tickets or not. It was like, hey, if not, we'll just tailgate out there. Even though San Diego Chargers tailgate was 70% Raiders fans. It was who's here in California.
Oh, man.
But... We went and like at the last minute it came through. Travis like I think texted our I don't know. It was like, all right, you got three tickets at will call. So we got in, and it was a great game. The Chiefs won on a last second field goal that a big catch to Travis Kelce set up. It was like 2017. But my big memory was that at halftime, or right before the half, I was like, the Chargers had just scored, and I said to this guy who's a big Chiefs fan, like, hey man, you know, they get a nice return here. They could get a field goal before the half or something. There was this guy, Kenile Davis.
Oh, yeah. Kenile Davis. Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, but Kenile Davis fumbles way too much. And we're not thinking about how we're sitting in, like, the Chiefs friends and family section.
Oh, no.
And this big dude just turns around in front of us and goes, that's my son.
Oh, my God.
And this guy, Cooper, is the sweetest guy.
God.
The sweetest guy is like, oh, I'm so sorry. And the guy goes, it's okay, man. he does fumble too much. turns back
that's
around.
My son, so I know.
He's like, you don't got to tell me.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It was, but
that's
it was like
horrifying.
The tensest moment yeah. of my life, and then like the best cut through the levity. So then, like the rest of the
Why
game.
Why are you wearing a Jamal Charles jersey?
It's really pointed. He had like three, must have been like his little brothers that were there watching and couldn't have given less of a shit about the. I was just thinking, like, if I had been like 8 and knew a person who knew a person who knew a person who was in the NFL, it'd be all I talked about.
Oh,
these kids, like, had a brother
playing Pokemon.
For the they didn't give a fuck. Yeah, they were like, it was crazy.
I'll say this, his brother. And yeah. this is good news for all of us. Almost came on Doughboys. Jason Kelce.
Jason did?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well,
oh,
Travis awesome. Is a better podcaster than all of us put together. It's just letting everyone know that he's elite in his field. But if he wanted to come in and has just come in here and fucking wrecked shop, like he's he could take us out anytime he wanted.
That sucks to yeah. know that they're like also they're good at everything. And
oh
they,
yeah,
it's like when you saw the nice guys.
I bet I could out podcast him. In fact,
an ad break. Yes. Yeah, I'm going to throw to an ad break. See if you can do that, yeah. buddy.
In fact, I challenge you.
come on the pod. Come on,
Travis
the pod.
Kelce.
Yeah,
come
better
on
help.
Pod.
A better help read off.
Yeah.
He's, you're like, oh, this guy's maybe kind of an asshole. And they're like, oh, he's actually nice and cool.
That's what I'm saying. It's like when I saw the nice guys, funny. And I was just like, oh, Ryan Gosling's funny? Yeah. What the fuck?
No. Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. I remember there's like a behind the scenes Wet Hot American Summer documentary that I watched one time, and they like there's just like a shot of them from a distance. They see Paul Rudd by himself on the basketball court just dribbling, and they're like, show us what you got. And he like first does a bit and they all laugh, and then he shoots a half court shot and swishes it. And I was just like, this guy could just fucking do everything.
No, that's how talent works.
Yeah.
It just it's is. It's all or nothing.
Across the board. If you've ever seen Liza Minnelli.
Yes.
Get to the rack. She could do it.
She
man.
Could. She's Liza... never, if she had ever touched a basketball, oh. she would just be able to do it.
She yeah. could get to the rack. It's like Isaiah Thomas. Yeah. He's little, yes. but he can get to the rim.
I'm glad that Jason Kelce didn't come on where Weiger would just be asking him what it was like in an NFL shower or something for 45 minutes.
Well, the Jason Kelce news this week was that he got engaged, right? He proposed to his now fiance in the car in the driveway of her parents' house.
That's cool.
It was like a very, he's like, I
think he was retelling the story of when they got
oh,
engaged.
Did that not just happen?
No,
oh,
okay. I think they've been married for
oh,
a while.
Oh, I'm wrong.
I'm a big
who do the
new
Chiefs,
Heights head.
Seems like a
who
nice
do the
guy.
Chiefs have in week two? The Jaguars. Early
start.
That'd be a good game.
Yep. That would yep. be crazy.
Early window game, yeah. which is pretty surprising. Two playoff teams, divisional playoff rematch in the mm-hmm. 10 a.m. window. That's kind of nuts.
The Jags didn't exactly take. I mean, they won, but
yeah,
they
sort of
they let the Colts hang around. There was a pick six, I think.
I think if Jones Ooh. Plays, so I think the defense looks pretty legit. I thought
Chiefs
they played.
Defense.
Yeah, the Chiefs defense played really well, and Jaguars defense looks a little suspect. I think the Chiefs will bounce back. I feel better about it now than I did Thursday night, especially with Jones back. But yeah, it's very very possible. I don't know if they'll have an answer for Calvin Ridley.
Some pleasant surprises. The same. I mean, you've talked about this. The Saints just have. Just an open path to the first half of the season. Their schedule is so fucking weak.
They
cake.
Can crawl
it's
on their hands
cake.
And knees.
Yes.
They should do an is it cake with the same yes. schedule.
But they also like they look good. They
Olave
look way
looks
better.
Good.
Olave looks great. The defense, I mean, like, you know.
Carr is such an improvement over
yes.
what they had before, and that kills me to say.
Yes.
I don't like Derek Carr. Carl's not here, so I can say it, but I don't like the guy. I think he's weird.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's fair.
Stop having kids.
Stop it.
He's trying to catch up with Philip Rivers, I think, in like the kids.
I have Kamara. I drafted him not last, but really much later yeah. than I thought I would have to. He's suspended till game 4, is it?
Yeah, yeah. I have him in one. Sean got him in the Foosballs League, which is concerning because Sean is, I think, had the second highest score of week one, and he's got Alvin Kamara coming in a couple of weeks, so he must have a good squad.
If you'd like to watch the video recording of this episode and check out some bonus shows with the guys, go to patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, should we do a quick little rundown of our league? So I got my fucking ass handed to me by Hassan.
And you had the highest score post-draft of everyone. You got
I got an A+. They were raving about it. Mel Kiper was...
The whole rest of the league was talking you got your
now
ass
I'm
kicked.
Yeah.
The fucking teachers.
I know, I've been circled on everyone's schedule.
You're the Steelers of our league. You had a great preseason. Everyone's like, this is the same as real football. Kenny Pickett's got a perfect passer rating. This will carry over.
Greg, yeah, you did. You won. You beat Jamel. Carl won. He beat Paul. Sean beat you. Mike's fascinating team.
Mm-hmm. Which I should change the name.
Don't
still
do it.
But I'm going to just stay with it.
Mike's team. It's
I always
fascinating.
Which could be bad or good or bad.
I endlessly love terrible pun team names, so I can never resist.
Yours is so good. I mean, it's one. Like really set the bar.
Mine is Comedian Destroys Eckler.
So
it's good.
My other two are what I got Louis DK for DK Metcalf. It works better visually, but I have Chris Olave, so it's like Olave's Frozen Adventure. That's for my niece.
Yeah, man. That's
okay, that's good.
That's a great one.
Yeah,
I also want to shout out a favorite one from our other league. It makes me laugh every time I see it. Kenny Pickett and the SNL band.
Oh, yes. Josh Corey.
That's a great name.
Ryan, your team is good.
I'm not panicking.
I wouldn't. Because, like, you know, with C.D. Lamb just not being necessary.
I don't think none of my starters scored a touchdown.
Wow.
None of them did. So I can't imagine that'll continue.
Well, yeah, again, on that Monday night game, I was in a Monday night matchup in another league that was like still in the air, and I was going against Saquon and Dak, mm-hmm. and the first 10 minutes of the game were so perfect. Like for the...
Sure.
And so you have Dak and Lamb, you have Saquon and Lamb, right? So terrible mm-hmm. game script for you.
Yeah.
Because right away...
Could not have been worse.
The Cowboys, and I honestly was surprised by how much they did still throw the ball in the second half of the game, but like it was like, oh, the Cowboys aren't going to throw and the Giants are going to have to throw. And so it was just for Saquon and for the Cowboys passing game, it was the worst game script imaginable.
Lamar Jackson too, very bad.
Yeah.
But also not a favorable game script.
No.
Yeah, and I think just like every other quarterback this past weekend just looked sloppy. I watched some of that game and he was really, really loose with the ball. It was flying all over the place. So I imagine he'll bounce back. I think they all will.
We do have to, I guess, shout out Steven Shaw.
Yeah.
Who did he have this week? Who had to play him?
That would be...
Jacob, the other listener. Yeah.
So our listener, Steven Shaw, big Chiefs fan, was in our draft and had a phenomenal week one.
That's the highest score I have ever seen.
So to put it like this, second place is Sean at 125.
Yeah.
Steven's at 193.
193.
Jeez. He had everyone. Everyone that
he had everyone.
He, if he had played DraftKings, he would have won $5 million.
That's correct.
So he had the defense and special teams of the Cowboys, which is, I think, I'm pulling it up right now. I think it was 39 points from the defense. I think
actually kind of an idiot for not playing DraftKings.
I think the two highest scoring players of the week were number one, Tyreek Hill, and number two, Cowboys defense.
Got it.
Yeah.
So he had Tyreek and Tua stacked, plus Calvin Ridley and Travis Etienne. Even with like mediocre stuff from Cam Akers, he Dallas' defense only got him 37. I misspoke.
I rode Dak in the Cowboys for like the last like 2-3 years, and of course this year I like didn't take the Cowboys defense or Dak in any of my leagues, and now I'm like, this will be the year that
the death of me.
They look good.
Of course, my defensive strategy was to grab, like I said on the pod, was to grab Baltimore because of their opening matchup, and it worked out pretty well. I mean, they got like 11. They got me 11 points, which I was happy with. But my big concern is that I have three leagues. Two of them won, one of them lost. But the two that won both did so on the strength of Austin Eckler, who now is not practicing with an injury this week.
Oh, so he is not going to – he is not practicing?
He hasn't been ruled out for the game or anything, but he's listed as questionable. Ankle, right? He's got an ankle issue, which is like he seems to always – he play,
it's always
it seems like he's always hurt and always plays.
Yes.
But it's good for disconcerting.
Longevity. Your team – I think in a lot to be excited about. Ayuk is
if we remember, my dog's life is on the line here, because when I was deciding between Ayuk and Deontay Johnson,
why are you always saying that?
My dog started tearing up my Steelers sweatshirt, and I couldn't decide if it was a sign to take Deontay or not take him. But I went with Ayuk. So right now, my dog is in the opposite. He's in the doghouse, but that's good for him.
Yeah.
For him, that's good.
But why is the dog's life on the line?
Because if he fucking steered me away from Deontay, and Deontay has a bigger year than Ayuk, I'm going to put him down.
But Deontay's out.
Deontay's out. He's
did not
terrible.
Have a good week one. And Ayuk looked awesome.
Incredible.
Drake London. Tough.
Oh, man.
Tough.
Him and T. Higgins.
I have T. Higgins on another. I'm not as worried about T. Higgins because he had 8 targets and it just seemed like a fluky game. But Drake London seems. Arthur Smith just doesn't want to throw the ball, man.
No. Yeah.
Arthur Smith is like, I've got three top 10 talents at skill positions. Bijan Robinson, one of the best running back prospects in years. Kyle Pitts, one of the best tight end prospects in years. Drake
ever,
London.
Ever! The highest drafted tight end ever!
Drake London, amazing top 10 receiver. Let's give that Tyler Allgeier some carries.
Yeah, but the quarterback is also, you know, that's part of it. Like, which everyone said, like, is like, what is the Ritter?
It doesn't
you know?
Look doesn't
no,
look good.
Doesn't look good.
I was 0-3 in my three fantasy leagues. I told you guys this beforehand, and I was in two survivor pools. I lost one already. So I the only thing I really did was win one survivor pool this entire week.
What who'd you have in your?
In survivor pools,
yes.
I went with the Ravens for the Doughboys survivor pool.
That would have been my pick. I wasn't just in one, but Nick. I registered like that would have been my pick.
That's just me.
Yeah,
and it's just the Nick doesn't want to play, so it's just me. and then there's I did another one with people back in Quincy. I was like, I won't pick the Ravens again. I'll make it interesting and pick a different team. I picked the Vikings, so they
Everyone else picked the Ravens.
No,
yeah,
everyone else picked the Ravens.
Well, here's the good news, Mike. In our league, you did lose, but you're in seventh. You had the most points by a pretty wide margin of any of the teams that lost. There were, if you had played Hayes, who won, you actually outscored Hayes.
Yeah.
Not to start beef with you guys.
Yeah,
but started. You.
Yeah, I really limped in.
You have Waddle, and I think that's the thing that's going to look up, because like the good news is the Dolphins' offense is a fucking like sports car, and they just rode Tyreek an ungodly amount this week. But Waddle was quiet. But I think I had a league where I took Olave over Waddle. Now I feel good with Olave, but it was literally just like the questionable tag by Waddle was there, and it scared me off. And now, of course, he plays and he's like full strength, and I wish I had him, even though Olave had a better week one.
I feel okay about my team still.
I'm not Justin Jefferson, man.
Yeah, I'm not.
What are you going to do at tight end?
I don't know.
We'll see. Goddard.
I think he'll okay, right?
There's no one on the waiver wire who's doing better. Yeah. That's the thing.
No.
It's like
Hayden Hurst.
Hayden Hurst, Howard Hughes.
They gave me an A in the draft, and they also said that this line specifically, despite this minor hiccup, I won't say what, which is me reaching for Brandon Cooks, Mike's Fascinating Team managed to balance their roster by drafting three players from the same team.
That's
Stevenson, New England,
that's
and Mac
the goal,
Jones.
Just to replicate. I mean, NFL teams are amazing. Like, if you can just replicate one with your fantasy team,
if you stack,
you're like a GM.
Yeah. The greatest fantasy teams of all time are the people who stack Brady and Moss and Osap.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no fantasy team's ever been better than that.
Well, it said this at the end. This trio is sure to bring some fascinating chemistry to the field, which is my team name, Mike's Fascinating Team.
Oh, that's a good
team.
Sign. Right. A name they gave you.
The
too,
name so they gave like me. Is, I do wonder if it is baked in or what. I loved it.
I want to point, I did get a lower score than Mike, but it would have been higher if I had not switched. I had a freak out that morning and switched out Darren Waller for Chig Okonkwo.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Who
How
ended
did Chig
up
do?
With Bad. Two targets and zero.
Well,
I got burned by him, too.
Yes.
Well, Waller barely Different did league. Shit, though.
He didn't do great, but, like, I just, you know, he was questionable for a while, and I'm just like, I fucking knew this guy was going to do this to me. And so I just was so ready to pull the trigger. Everyone was so excited about Chig, did absolutely nothing. And, you know, that the Saints defense is part of it, but I think I'm just going to drop him. I have two questions for you, one about my team, one about yours. Are you worried about Jahmyr Gibbs?
No.
You think he'll get more?
If you're in a league with someone who's worried about Gibbs, try to trade for him.
Yeah. Okay. Because he was the best. I thought at the game, I thought he was the best looking line
player
on the field.
But he had like 20% of the snaps or something. And Montgomery looked okay.
Montgomery's not bad. That's the thing. It sucked how
he had like 3.3 yards of carry.
I think they feel more comfortable running Montgomery through the tackles and they want Gibbs to get out in space, which fucking great. I think it's only going to go up. It sucked that he got such a low snap count, but they said like we're going to ease him in, we're going to get it. So, you know, they're not Arthur Smith. They're not going to use a high pick on someone and then just tell him to fuck off. Like, they're a sane, competent Oregon coach. I know the Falcons won. Still shitting on him. But, like, I'm not worried about Gibbs. Gibbs was all right, and he's only going to get better. He had one play where he would have had a 10-yard touchdown run, and he kind of slipped, you know, the one I'm talking about. They were at, like, the 10, and he had, like, one guy to beat to the corner, and he shook him, but he slipped. I think I'm not worried about Gibbs.
Okay, here's my other question. What should I do about Najee Harris? I'm so fucking freaked. And I didn't have to like spend a really high pick on him. I think he was
bad as it's been where even his rookie year. He was in like Bijan territory. His rookie year going in like the top 10.
Yes. I think he was like fourth round or something this time.
I am down on Najee. I think he's a decent football player. I thought it was a terrible pick when we made it.
Yeah.
I think using a pick for a running back, using a pick or even a big amount of free agent money for a running back is a really bad idea.
Bad game script. He only had six
terrible
attempts. He had 5 yards per carry. He only had 6 rushing attempts.
Our line feels better than it's been. He's good catching passes. I
had him last year, or was it last year or 2 years ago? Or I loved him.
Yeah. He's not.
It was 2 years ago.
Then it was 2 years ago.
Yes.
The only worry is that whenever Jalen Warren gets opportunities, he looks. It feels like
he looks better.
It feels like it felt in Dallas the last couple of years,
right?
Where like Najee is Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, he's solid enough, but damn, that Tony Pollard. Every time we give him the ball, he seems to do something, and that's. But as long as Najee holds him off, I sit tight. Better games. The only thing is like game
better
scripts.
Games got the Niners this
week. Yeah, but then they also have the Browns this next week, which is another tough defense that really shut down Cincinnati. So I don't know.
Do we think that, or do we think that the Bengals were just really really out of it? I felt that a bit more.
It talks about the weather conditions. It's like both teams had to
both
play
teams play.
It.
Yeah.
It's like, but did you see the clip of Myles Garrett doing like the crossover dribble thing?
That was
cool. So scary.
I never had a player that like got into like a full on fight with a guy on my team, and I still am like, I kind of. Like, I'm never gonna fucking go to bat for Mason Rudolph, I'll tell you that. Like, I still like Myles Garrett more. That was pretty sick.
And he actually used it. It wasn't just like he actually did fucking cross him up.
He essentially like did an NBA move.
One of the coolest things I've ever seen.
He broke the guy's ankle and got to the. He was Liza Minnelli out there. He got to the rack.
Untouched.
Hayes, did you put any waiver claims in?
I did.
Yeah, I would say I think you need some running back insurance there.
I do. And I think I put one in for Williams, which will not be a surprise.
Mitch, you look like you had a question.
Is Watson taken in our league or no?
Deshaun Watson. I think
we had a gentleman's agreement.
I don't want to take him, but I am like
that was a weird one because I was not watching that game. I was watching my beloved Steelers.
He
throttled.
Was not good.
I
had a red zone going and he didn't look great.
Every clip that would come on Twitter of Watson was like a terrible throw. One of the worst throws you've ever seen.
His pick was awful.
And then I would look at the score and they'd be up like even more. So I don't know.
Mitch, I don't know either.
You started Dalvin Cook, who was fine.
Mm-hmm.
You there's a thinness at running back for you as well, though.
Yeah.
Because Rashad Penny is a drop.
Oh man, I know he was a healthy fucking scratch.
Yes.
I took him in my first league.
I heard that. I thought he was hurting this week or no? I don't know. I think there's just
Kenneth Gainwell.
Yeah, let's talk about Kenneth Gainwell. To everyone's surprise, is the bell cow running back of the Eagles.
As somebody who in multiple leagues started DeAndre Swift over Breece Hall. Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah.
that's pretty brutal.
He's the guy.
It is so funny to go out and trade for Swift. Trade a second round pick for Swift?
Really?
Or maybe not that high, but trade something for Swift, sign Penny, and then just be like, we're going to give 90% of the carries to the guy we already had.
Kickers played a big role this week.
Yeah.
There were some like huge kicker performances.
I saw
Dicker the kicker had a great game.
He had a great game. I was happy to,
I was going into Monday night really like neck and neck with
Tyler Bass. Huh?
Well, I have Tyler Bass. It was basically I was like a few points up on Jamal, the listener, who has I was the only host who was playing a listener, and so like that's just for establishing.
Well, I was too, I think.
No, there were three listeners, and two of them were playing each other. And he has Josh Allen. And so I needed Allen to not outscore Bass by more than 10 points. And Bass ended up outscoring Allen for that game.
Well,
Jake Elliott
had
17 points. And
it was kickers and defense. They're the things that are carrying you over the finish line.
Yes.
I was in a similar situation where I needed Diggs to not outscore Bass by a bunch. And so I was in a weird position where at the end of regulation, I have Tyler Bass, and I'm rooting for him to miss that field goal because I was ahead. So I was like, just miss it, and it's over. But if you hit it, and then Diggs scores a touchdown in overtime, I was going to lose. So it was like a very weird, like, it's like when you bet a team plus 3.5 in basketball, and they're shooting a 3 at the end, and you're like, just miss it. Yeah. I'll win. Don't go to overtime and blow the bet.
I have the second pick on the waivers. I'm second in waivers in the Quincy League. There's Gainwell, Shaheed from
Shaheed is a big play threat, but I wouldn't prioritize. I mean, I would imagine the big wideout until Cooper Kupp is back is Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua, he had 11 targets.
Yeah, he led the league in targets.
Bourne is the third on the
Bourne. Does he look like the Pats' number one wideout?
I would buy.
I don't know what that means.
And also just even to see Matt like throwing the ball, like, I mean, it was exciting to even just see him like make completions for the last 2 years. It feels like we've run the ball every play. So I don't know. Maybe I can't tell. It's that weird thing where I'm like,
he
could not do anything for three games or something. I can't tell.
What about Nelson Agholor? Is he still there? Is he out of the league?
I think he's gone.
Yeah, I think
he retired.
So Bourne out of like Agholor, Myers, and Bourne. Bourne was the one they kept, and they brought in Juju, and that's pretty much it, right?
And there's Parker.
Yeah,
Devontae
Parker. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
still around, kicking,
man.
Yeah,
still kicking.
It's just a weird room. And Stevenson gets like he had six receptions. like, you know, they kind of spread it around.
How did it feel to see Jacoby Myers get his first ever career two-touchdown game?
Up. Yeah.
The moment he leaves.
I almost felt like it was going to, happen.
Yeah.
But is he good, though,
I don't
still?
Know.
Like,
I don't
you know. Like,
or is he just
sure.
like, oh, maybe Devontae Adams pulls a little more attention away than Kendrick Bourne did?
Yes.
That's why, like, when Odell Beckham went to the Rams and people were like, he's still got it. I was like, he's also playing with Cooper Kupp, like literally the guy having the best season of wideouts ever had. I think he's going to have a little more opening.
So who would you go get? Would you go just get grab Gainwell?
If you can, what
do you need? What's your
Algier if he's out there?
I kind of need wide receivers more in that league, but
Puka, I go Puka.
Puka will. I think Puka's a weird one where you could pick him up, start him for the next couple of weeks semi-confidently, but then when Kupp comes back, he might even be a drop. I don't know.
I would take Gainwell over Puka just for scarcity of running. Running backs suck.
Yeah.
Like,
you can just
get anybody.
He has a higher chance of paying off long-term, I think, for Gainwell.
My only worry is if they start kind of rotating running backs because they've got a pretty deep stable.
Hey, Penny might come back around again.
Hopefully. Swift. I'm going to hang on to Penny for another week, I think. But
the thing with Swift and Jamal Williams in Detroit was people were just like, is it them? Is it the system and like their role? People were like, is Swift good? Like,
And
they let them both go. They replaced them with like, you know.
Pretty happy. All right, go. Yeah. You get out of here.
We'll see. I'm bummed about Puka Nacua because I had seen about like quotes about him having a part in that offense, and I let I blame Elon Musk because I let one random because I engage with a lot of fantasy shit on Twitter, and so I get like random fantasy people's tweets that I don't actually follow.
Yeah,
and I saw one snarky one. I was like, what about Nacua? And then I saw a guy tweet something to the effect of like, if you are excited about the prospect of a non-Cooper Kupp Rams wideout on your team, it's already fucked. And I let that snarky tweet be like, yeah, he's right. This is ridiculous. What am I? And then the guy comes out as fucking like 10 catches. Yeah. And I was like, God, I let this fucking guy get in my head, you know?
I'm looking at Sean's team, which is in second place in our league. And he is pretty well set up, I think. The QB situation is dicey. He's starting Geno Smith. And he has a cousin.
Yeah, we didn't really talk. The Seahawks were another team that kind of shit the bed this week. The Rams' defense was supposed to be Swiss cheese, and the Seahawks had like 3 yards in the second half. It was like the lowest second half they've ever had.
Kenneth Walker wasn't that good.
DK at least had a touchdown to salvage his day.
He's got Christian Watson waiting to...
Describing Sean's team.
He has Christian Watson, but he also has Dobbs, who was on the bench, who I think like both of those guys, it looks like, are going to be decent. Like Green Bay just looks pretty good.
Yeah.
He might have that tough thing, though, where you have like two wideouts from one team and you don't know where to go. Like, I had Chase and Boyd. No, it was obviously not the same thing. You start Chase. And I think in that situation, you would start Watson if he's healthy.
But there were years where both of those guys were startable and were like, putting up numbers.
And Boyd had, like, a 35-point game on my bench last year. And then when Chase was out, I would start Boyd and he would have nothing. It was so frustrating. The guy that was always, when I first started playing fantasy, the guy that was always like, if I play him, he will suck. If I don't, he will have three touchdowns, was Clinton Portis. And so to me, like, I'm always like, in
Ryan
my head,
Matthews
I go.
Ryan for me.
Yeah, Ryan Matthews.
Ryan Matthews.
I'm like, he's a Clinton Portis, and it means nothing to anyone but me. But like,
Ryan Matthews with a single T.
One T Matthews, Sporkle quizzes.
I told these guys this, but as bad as all my teams did, I was 12-4 for picking against the spread with In the Simpsons, I'm in the Simpsons Pick'em League,
which is actually
a lot more competitive than you.
Who'd you have? What'd you have this week?
Who were the well? I bet against the spread. Basically, I'll show you the
going 12-4 against the spread is very
that's
impressive.
Insane.
Yeah,
you must be in first place, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, but someone else was like 11-5. Was it a Simpsons writer?
Brody.
Davis.
I don't know if you even know this or not, but my wife writes on the show, and I'm like,
oh, really?
Why are we not in this Pick'em League? I'm like mad at her right now because of what you said. I'm going
to
go
talk to
Jesse.
Yeah. Oh, I would hate it just because then you would be annoying to me.
I filled out her Simpsons March Madness bracket, and it was dog shit.
I got since I picked Cincinnati, Minnesota, Chicago, and New England. Those were the four that I got wrong.
You gotta go with your heart sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I always pick New England, no matter what, which is dumb to do.
They didn't cover?
No, it was 4.5.
Oh,
we lost by 5. Ooh. We lost by 5 points.
That's a bad beat.
Yeah.
Bad beat.
Yeah. And we had it. We didn't kick a field goal too at one point. We could
have. Right.
Whatever. It's fine. I did all right. It did okay. This week is going to be, I think, the first week to me is always just like a toss up where I'm like, I don't know. It's like guessing blind. And then this week I feel like is going to be harder because I still don't. I have no idea.
It's like I very much support there being less preseason football because I don't want guys getting hurt for shit that doesn't count.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it does just turn the first couple weeks. And I'm like, both things can be true and it's hurt. Okay, but the first couple weeks are chaos.
Yeah, they just get hurt in weeks 1 and 2.
But at least they counted for something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got the Dolphins this week. Which
that's
is
what I was going to say. We're going to wrap up here, but let's before we go, just quick check in. How do you feel about the Pats, and how do you guys feel about your own fantasy teams in the foosball leagues? Like, Pats, I feel like you lost, but you held your own against the Super Bowl contender.
Everyone hates the Patriots, like, whatever. I do think this team is uniquely boring. I have so much less investment. Like the teams that everyone hated had so many. I think apart from their success, which made everyone hate them, and like whatever with Brady, they had so many great players who were so lovable and like easy to root for. This like the defenses were just like full of guys that were like just fucking cool.
This feels like a defense that is really good but has no face. Who's the face of the Patriots?
Judon. He's so underrated.
Used to have
he's
like
so good.
Yeah, he is good.
He used to have like Rodney Harrison and who's the middle linebacker? Bruschi.
Yeah.
Seymour Wilfork.
The firm Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy. Yeah. Willie McGinnis would be the coolest
Willie
guy
McGinnis.
On any Richard other team.
Yeah.
Seymour, Harrison, yes. Wilfork.
Grable.
Wilfork was great on the Texans' Hard Knock season.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
but I know. Grable. So many likable.
And now it's just like.
So many likable dudes.
I can't invest in like the teams of the last few years. I mean, they basically asked us for a long time to sort of choose between Belichick and Brady in terms of like who was your guy that you were holding responsible for the success of the team.
Yeah.
And I personally chose Brady, and I basically followed him to Tampa Bay. And
were you guys happy for him, or was it a bit?
I was over the moon for him. I fucking love that guy.
Yeah,
my sophomore year of high school when they first won, like I got the day off school the next day because like the school was just like we're forget it, we're not doing this. No one else has ever done that for me.
I've talked about this on the pod, but it's so tough as a Michigan fan.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Because he was so bad at Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's really tough.
By Drew Henson.
Exactly.
Yeah, so true Yankee, like, Drew Henson.
Yankees middle infielder, third baseman Drew Henson. Yeah, it's tough. I make the comparison, like, imagine if Michael Jordan had played for your school and scored like 3 points a game and shot 19% from the field and then goes on and wins the most titles anyone's. Yes. It's tough.
So this year, I think I'm doing more of like a Clippers thing where I'm almost more invested in the Chargers this year. And then, of course, week one was like very disappointing.
But they're fun.
They're fun.
Did you get the NFL package or no this year?
I use Sean's DirecTV password for everything.
I like it.
Yep. My sister and her in-laws surprised my brother-in-law, another big Patriots fan, shout out, with an early like birthday gift of the YouTube TV package so he can watch all the games and stuff. And she like totally like took a video of her like revealing it to him. And it was like, I was like, they honestly should submit it to YouTube TV because it should be like, you know, like those viral ads on TikTok that are just like people getting surprised with it. And he's like so happy.
It's like when like those videos, like when an old dad gets tickets to the game that he's never seen before. Yeah. He starts crying.
It's exactly like that.
Here's what, Mitch, like my question for you is, even with the Bills and like, do you think they have a shot at third place in that division?
My hot take is that the Patriots are going to be good this year. I know that's not, I'm a homer, but I didn't feel this way last year. I thought that they were going to be just okay, and they were.
I thought they looked really, really solid. Like compared to how everyone else looked week one,
yeah,
the offense was good, and that defense looks top two.
The defense is crazy. I just don't know about Mac, and it's of course the thing of having the best quarterback ever, and then going to Mac Jones, and you're just like, I don't know.
Your brain, you don't know how to. Like,
I don't know how to handle them.
I don't know what's pretty good.
Yes, I really don't know anymore. But it was like that game was more exciting than like maybe almost any game last year, right? Like, I mean, besides maybe there's a couple that
I guess like a very good team.
Then there's a keeper. Can you bet on who the keeper of the light is going to be each week? Because I want to.
That'll be like the Super Bowl props about what color Rihanna's going to come out in.
I hope there's a keeper of the light.
All right, who would you guys nominate for the next keeper of the light?
I mean.
Wahlberg's going to do it at some point.
That type of thing, you mentioned Teddy Bruschi, you have to like fight him to like take those opportunities away from him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He just like sets up shot.
I think Bruschi
at Patriot Place. Like
he likes to be on camera.
I basically guarantee he will be the.
Here's my alt decision.
Okay.
Jim Caviezel.
He thinks it is like an ancient
hit big summer movie. Yeah, he'll be there.
You can actually buy a ticket for a random person to be keeper of the light who can't afford to be keeper of the light.
He actually did follow the lighthouse like a ship to get to the stadium.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a chance. I want to say this. The last I bought NFL Sunday ticket the last 3 years, and this year I was like, and it went to YouTube and it was $450. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, am I paying $450 for a team that is going to suck? And I was like, this year I felt the more confident than I have the last couple years, but I just have no idea with him. And I think week two will kind of show. I mean,
Sunday night.
It feels kind of like a hot take after what happened with the Jets, but I still think they are like bottom.
Yeah, they like could be a
basement team in that division.
Yeah,
there's a world where Zach Wilson can just fucking Kyle Orton his way to a 10-7 season or something. Yes. But it
is Zach
he's
Wilson
so much
that
worse
bad?
Than
I mean,
he looks really bad.
Yeah, he doesn't look great.
Did and you see any of the?
I think there's a world where the Patriots could finish second in that division.
Wow,
if the,
I love that.
If the Bills,
I agree.
If the Bills kind of continue where it looks like they're going, because
I don't trust the Bills ever. Ooh. which I mean, I know that they've been a good team, I just never trust them to, and then they did destroy us a couple times in the last couple of years.
That would be a problem if that
here's
happened.
My dream scenario. Dream scenario: the Bills continue to implode, Josh Allen turns it over another four times, Stephon Diggs demands out, Stephon Diggs winds up on the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were talking about if the Chiefs need to trade for a wideout because their wideout room is so dire.
I mean, the Bills would never. But, hey,
the Chiefs could get, like, a Terry McLaurin or a Michael Pittman or something, though.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, was it Bean? Is he the GM in Buffalo? He seems like
Billy
Mr. Bean.
Bean.
Yeah, Mr. Bean. He's a simpleton.
Mr. Bean.
He can be had.
He gave Von Miller's old ass like $20 million a year.
Yeah.
So. Just deliver him a turkey. He'll get on his head. He'll accidentally trade Diggs.
He won't be able to. He'll hit the wrong button.
the trade button.
Yeah, he'll hit the trade button. Execute trade.
We're going to meet to discuss the trade. We're going to meet at the chandelier store. I'll send you a Razor scooter. Thanks for coming on
thanks,
the show.
Guys.
Thanks
guys.
For having me. Yeah.
So much fun.
I'm gonna break down the first week.
See you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you. We're accumulating hosts.
Carl ain't coming back.
How are you going to keep them down on foosball?
Yeah, by the end of this month, we're going to have 15 different people in here co-hosting the show.
All right. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. See ya.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.